Okay, Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a fair garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Notice what God says in reference to wisdom. It'll give you a crown and a beautiful garland. And what God is saying is this, if you walk with Him and you seek His wisdom, He'll give you spiritual and moral beauty. That's what the garland refers to and the crown, spiritual and moral beauty. That is a byproduct of walking with God. And what a contrast that is to the disgusting life, really, of somebody who doesn't live for God and the things that they do and how they act. God will give you that beauty. Verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. A moral life will usually be a longer life. Not always. There's no absolute guarantee. But most of the time, it's a longer life. And that is because it doesn't take much thinking to figure out why. When you talk about an immoral life, you're talking about things that shorten life. Whether it's illicit sex or tobacco or drinking or drugs or whatever it might be, just that fast and wild lifestyle, a lot of those things are connected to disease, and of course that shortens life. You walk with the Lord, your chances of living longer increase. Verse 11. Bible says, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Now that is David talking to his son Solomon. And I want you to notice that David taught and David led Solomon. And really, that's the only thing that a parent can do. Those are two things that a godly parent can do. They can teach their child about God, and they can lead them in the paths of righteousness. They can be an example. If you do those two things as a parent, I'd say you've done pretty much all that God has expected of you morally. Teach and lead by example. Verse 12. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. I underline that word step because that is a very important word here. And the reason I say that is because God leads us step by step. It's like I prayed before the message, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That is how God leads, step by step. He shows us what to do this second. And He shows us our next step. He guides our next step. He shows us what's right this second. It's one step at a time. And one second at a time when it comes to God leading us. That's why you shouldn't be surprised when you don't have any idea what God might want you to do a week from now. Don't be shocked if you don't know what God wants you to do a week from now. And don't let it bother you. Don't be all upset because you don't know where God wants you to be a week from now. Forget it. For one, you don't even know if you're going to be here a week from now. But if you are, guarantee you, when that day comes, when that second comes, God will show you. And you won't have to wonder. Verse 13. Keep hold of instruction and do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Guard godly counsel, is what he is saying. Guard the wisdom of God. Guard your walk with Christ, is what he's talking about. Guard it. Guard it with the same intensity that you guard your life. Guard that godly counsel. Guard the Word of God in you. Because Christ in you and the wisdom that He imparts to you, that is really the only thing that'll give you a life worth living anyway. So guard it like you would your own life. Cling to it. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil men. And when it talks about do not enter the path of evil and do not walk in their way, that's talking about acting like they act. We can't remove ourselves from people who don't know Christ and maybe who do not live godly lives. We can't remove ourselves from them. And God doesn't want us to remove ourselves totally from everybody like that. He wants us to be around people who aren't living for Him. He wants us to witness to evil people. Just don't join in their sinful ways. Be different from them. If you choose to be around somebody like that, then be a spiritual light and don't act the way they act. Be a light for Christ. Look at verse 15. He builds on that. He says, avoid it. Do not go on it. And that, again, that's referring to the path of the wicked, their evil ways. He says, avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. God is saying to His people, do not be intrigued by a sinful life. Don't investigate what it might be like. You know, if you're curious about it, stay away from it. Even if it kind of interests you, stay away from it. In fact, if it interests you, that's all the more reason to stay away from it. Verse 16. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. And hard to believe, but there are people out there who are like that. There are people out there who it really bothers them when they haven't taken advantage of somebody. When they had an opportunity to take advantage of somebody or get somebody back or do something bad to somebody and they didn't take advantage of it. That's foreign to us who know Christ and who have walked with Christ for a while. But if you work out in the real world with people who don't know Jesus, you know that that's not that strange. There are people out there who get upset when they don't take advantage of an opportunity to get somebody. It bugs them when they blow those opportunities. And that's what God is talking about here. They cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. There are also people out there who just thrive on violence and thrive on wickedness, just thrive on sin. You know, man is sinful. God says, God's word teaches that mankind has a sin nature, and we all have that natural bent towards sin. And unless a person is born again and has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they will have a propensity to sin, an inclination to do wrong things. Wickedness and evil and sin and violence, they are all appetizing things to ungodly people who do not know the Lord. And that's what God is talking about right here. Verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. What a contrast between the type of people that God was just talking about and those who know Him and walk with Him. The path of the righteous, love this verse, is like the light of dawn, grows brighter and brighter until full day. You know what that's saying? It's saying the longer you walk with Christ, the longer you live for Jesus, the better your life is going to be. It continually improves. And, you know, the quality of your life will get better the closer you get to Jesus and the longer you walk with Jesus. And it's not that, you know, outwardly things will always be great. And they may not improve. Outwardly things may not improve. But inwardly you'll grow stronger. And you'll increase with joy as you continue to walk with the Lord. And really then your circumstances become secondary because your faith and your walk with the Lord is just getting so much stronger. And that's where the joy is. And so for Christians, the best is yet to come. As long as your focus is on Jesus and getting to know Him better. Verse 19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. That is one thing about sin. Sin not only causes trouble, but sin darkens the mind of the person who commits sin. The Bible talks about that in the book of Romans. How certain people are given over to their sin. They've sinned so long and so often that they're given over to their sin, and the Bible says that their foolish minds became darkened. And so sin leads to trouble, and trouble ruins lives, but sin also darkens the mind of the sinner. And so even though the reason for their miserable life is very apparent to somebody who's walking with God, because sin has blinded their eyes, they don't even see. They don't even see what their real problem is. They're grasping in the dark, trying to find answers for their messed up life. And all the while, the answer is so simple. But it's right there in front of them. They can't see it because sin has darkened their minds and blinded them to it. That's why the government throws millions and millions and billions of dollars at problems. You know, and I'm not against all of it, but that's not the solution. It really isn't. The solution is right there in front of us. It's people repenting and receiving Jesus and living for Him. Verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to him who finds them and healing to all of his flesh. God's word is life to our flesh. They're healing to our flesh. It's healing to our flesh. That is one thing about the Word of God. I believe it. The more you take in the Word of God, it enhances you even physically. It is life to your flesh. God's Word, I think it does something supernaturally. Well, obviously it does something to our soul and our spirit. And there's such a close connection between our spirit, our soul, and our body. And God's Word has a positive effect even on our body. But beyond that, God's Word is healing to our flesh in another way. It's because His Word steers us away from sin. And sin causes guilt, and that causes stress, and that takes its toll on your physical health. And so as you take in the Word, you're going to have less sin, you're going to have less stress, and you're going to have better health too. You can't lose taking in the Word of God. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about this thing. It's talking about your mind, your emotion, your will. Okay? It's talking about your soul. And so the heart here refers to your thoughts and your desires. God says keep it. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Guard your desires. What we think about has a great influence on what we say. And what we think about has a great influence on what we do. And God is telling us that it's very important to guard our thought life. Because what you put in to your soul is going to eventually come out in how you act and what you say. So God says, above all, guard your heart. Watch what you allow in there. That's where the trouble starts. Or in the flip side, that's where the blessing starts if you allow the right stuff in there. Verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. In other words, use plain talk. You know, don't use double talk. Use plain talk. Let your words be straightforward and above board and without deception. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Don't use deceptive words. Some people use deceptive words. Some people are purposely vague when they talk so that they can backtrack later on. You know, God says, no, just be above board and say what you mean. Just speak above board. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. And that means have one single overriding purpose in life, and that is to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be your focus. Let that be your number one goal. And there are so many things that want to strip that away from us. Verse 25 again, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. That means keeping your eye on Jesus and what He wants you to do. You think about all the competition there is for that Satan has in the world today. TV, internet, music, you know, whatever, movies, magazines, they can be instruments of good, but more often than not, they are instruments of Satan to arouse our sin nature and to detract our thoughts away from God, keep us busy with something other than looking forward straight ahead at Christ. And so it's more critical than ever that we stay in the Word and keep our focus on Jesus. It's like Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep our focus on Christ. Verse 26. Take heed to the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. And what that means is it all starts with holiness. If you keep your feet on the path of holiness, then the rest of your life is going to be well ordered as well. Unfortunately, some people never learn that simple truth. And because they don't, their lives go from one chaotic mess to another, because they are not keeping their feet on the path of holiness. And it's one problem after another. And they never seem to catch on to the fact that when you respond in the flesh to life issues, it always results in more trouble. Everybody has bad things happen to them. But when you respond to those bad things in a sinful way, instead of the way that God wants you to, it just multiplies the problem, makes it worse. And so a successful life, a happy life, a life filled with joy begins with keeping your feet on that path of holiness and not veering off to the right or to the left. 27, Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Let me read it again. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. When I read that, I thought about how life with Christ is sort of like going down a nice highway. When you're walking with Jesus, it's like you're going down life on a nice highway. But there's always the world, and there's always the flesh, and there's always Satan right there with all sorts of alleys and all sorts of side roads that they want you to take to get you off of that path that you are on with Jesus Christ. They are constantly enticing Christians to take a side road. Here, get off the path with Jesus. Get off the highway with Jesus. Take this side road. It won't hurt. Or take this alleyway. Get off the path with God. And God is saying, no matter how many people are telling you to take this side road and get off of that path that you know is where God wants you to be, no matter how many people are telling you to do that, get off on this side road, or no matter how many voices in your head are saying, get off onto this alley, don't do it. Because it's just going to end in trouble for you. Don't do it. Stay on that road that you know God wants you to be on, which is the moral will of God. Stay right on the moral will of God. Chapter 5. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. Discretion is discernment, ability to recognize right from wrong and even better and best over good. That's what discretion is. And God's Word will give you, number one, it'll give you an appetite for good. It'll give you an appetite for goodness. The more you read the Word of God, the more you'll hunger for goodness. And so if you want to have good sense, and you want to be able to recognize good sense when you hear it, then read the Word, because it'll give you the discernment that you need to recognize it. That's what he's talking about here in verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, for the lips of a loose woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. And God is very practical in his advice to men in the rest of this chapter for the most part. He's saying, watch out for fast women, guys. Watch out for them. Be careful, because they will flatter you, and they are clever, and they know how to trip you up, and you never see it coming. They are very good at doing that. Look at verse 4. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Loose woman, loose women, is what God is talking about here. And God says they're very good at making themselves attractive. But in the end, if a guy goes for it, he's going to be very sorry. And it's the same with any sin, for that matter. It doesn't matter. Same with any sin. It looks good before you do it, but afterwards you wish you wouldn't have done it. because you feel guilt, you feel shame, and there are always consequences every single time. Verse 5, still on the subject. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not take heed to the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. Now look at that. There you have somebody who is totally given over to their sin. Her ways wander, and she doesn't even know it. And that is always a danger. Some people have sinned so often, so long, that they have a hard time even recognizing that it's sin anymore. It's that foolish mind has become darkened. Their conscience is seared. And they don't even see it as being a wrong thing anymore. And God specifically is talking about harlots here, I suppose. And what he is saying is their love for their wealth and their love for their sin gets them to the place where they don't even realize how far they have fallen. They don't even realize how low they have fallen because they are so given over to their sin. It doesn't start out that way. I mean, you have to work through the initial guilt that you feel the first time you do something. And evidently, the woman that God is talking about here has done that. She has persevered through the initial guilt. Now she has gotten to the place where she doesn't see anything wrong with what she's doing. I mean, I'm making good money. I'm living in a nice place. I'm driving a nice car. Look at these clothes I'm wearing. Nothing wrong with this. And that's how a lot of people think. 7. And now, O sons, listen to me. And do not depart from the words of my mouth. And boy, that is just God pleading. In essence, he's saying there's a lot at stake. Like a decent, healthy, happy life here and now, and also a good eternity. So pay close attention to what I'm saying. Look at verse 8. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. There's an important lesson for us right there. Boy, God doesn't waste words. He has a reason for saying, keep your way far from her and don't go near her house. Stay away from that. Stay as far away from that as you possibly can. That and any other sin. Defeating sin really comes down to making the correct decisions. Like choosing to stay as far away from things that tempt you as you possibly can. Don't play close to the edge. Stay as far away as you can, because the closer you are to it, the tougher it is for you to have victory. So God is saying, if you have trouble with sweets, don't go to the candy store and then ask God for victory. Stay as far away from the candy store as you can, or the donut shop, or if you're having trouble with alcohol, don't go sit on a bar stool. Use common sense, Don't go near her house, God says. Stay as far away from those temptations as you possibly can. 9. Lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your wealth. And a lot of guys would be able to testify that the word of God right here in verses 9 and 10 is true. Because I'm sure there are a lot of men all across this country who have gotten into immorality with a woman who came across so sweet and so sincere and so alluring, but then when it was all over, she demanded large sums of money or she was going to go public. There are probably a lot of politicians out there, maybe a lot of preachers out there, and a lot of, who knows, family men out there who are in situations like that or have been in situations like that. And that's what God is talking about when he says he warns lest strangers take their fill of your wealth. Verse 11, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. All you got to do, if you're tempted to commit the sin of immorality and live that kind of a lifestyle, all you have to do, go find some guy, or some woman for that matter, whose body is filled with gonorrhea, or syphilis, or is blind, or has AIDS. Go ask that person if their sin was worth it. Verse 12. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers, or incline my ear to instruction. Isn't that a sad thing? The guy had instruction, read the Word of God, man, had it all there in front of him. But I suppose Satan, and maybe his own flesh, said, well, you're the exception. It won't happen to you, as he's laying in his hospital bed with AIDS or gonorrhea or whatever. It won't happen to you. And he's kicking himself as he is in pain. And his life is shot. And he says, how I hated instruction. How I ignored those who tried to teach me. You know, anybody who lives a sexually immoral life will someday experience the painful consequences of that sin. But they will also experience the frustration of knowing that it didn't have to be that way. That they could have avoided it if they had only listened to God. And then they will kick themselves, and then they will hate themselves, but it'll be too late to do anything about it. Verse 14. I was at the point of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. And that's another thing. That's another thing. Not only are there physical consequences to that sin and spiritual consequences to that sin, but there's also the possibility of public disgrace goes along with that. And that's what verse 15 or 14 is talking about. Look at 15. Here, this is what I like about God. He shifts gears right here. He not only gives us the negative, okay? He not only says, don't do this and don't do that. He always gives us an alternative. And that's what he gives right here. You want to have a good time? You want to have a good life? It begins in verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. In other words, let every husband find satisfaction with his own wife within the purity of the marriage relationship. That is what he's talking about. Verse 16. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? And the springs of water here, that refers to children. And look at verse 17. Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. And isn't it true that families are all messed up today because of this kind of stuff? Families are a mess, and our country is a mess because of it. Children are divided like pieces of pie. They belong to the father and the father's family. They belong to the mother and the mother's family. They belong to the mother's grandparents, and they belong to, or the grandparents on the mother's side, and they belong to the grandparents on the father's side. And Christmas is like a whistle stop tour, you know, trying to make all the rounds to all the relatives. What a far cry it is from God's best. Verse 18. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And the fountain refers here again to a man's wife. God says, find your joy in an exclusive relationship with your wife. It'll be satisfying to you. 19. A lovely hind, a graceful doe, let her affection fill you at all times with delight. Be infatuated always with her love. Why should you be infatuated, my son, with a loose woman and embrace the bosom of an adventuress? There is no good reason, is there? With the argument that God has made here, there's no good reason at all for a man to wrap his arms around some loose woman who's carrying who knows how many viruses, you know, because of what she has done. Absolutely no good reason at all for a man to do that if he has a woman who loves God, he can wrap his arms around her. Man is a fool if he does anything other than that. Verse 21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. And if the logical argument doesn't work, if the common sense argument doesn't work, how about this one, guys? No human eye may see you commit the sin of immorality, but God does. He sees it all. You know, he sees what's going on in that hotel room or in the back of that van or wherever. There's no such thing as a secret sin to God. You might as well be doing it in the middle of the mall during shopping season because it's that apparent to God. 22. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is caught in the toils of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline. and because of his great folly, he is lost. And so no one can sin and get away with it. And that is because sin comes fully loaded with its own trouble. It's just abnormal behavior for how God designed us. And, you know, sin may give you short-term joy, but I guess it's sort of like a time-release vitamin. It'll give you short-term joy, but it's going to give you long-term sorrow and trouble. Because it's just not normal. It's not how God created us to be. And God loves us enough to warn us against that. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word and for our time together tonight. Help us to apply what we have heard in this practical book of Proverbs. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I speak to those of you who are watching this.